guesting every week. Louis van Gaal's Army! Louis van Gaal's Army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond. Ooh, sir, tough day.
How you doing, sir? Dude, tough one. That was not like last year. Not necessarily worth staying up late for or getting up early for. Tough day at the office.
Hey, with any tough day at the office, we're going to take it to the manager, get his post-game thoughts as he talks to the press.
Do you think the scoreline was a fair reflection of how the way the game developed?
You know, if the third goal is scored in one of the moments where they were dominating, I probably would say so. But the third goal comes in a moment where we were in a fight to try to get the equalize.
Jose, you're now as close to Cardiff as you are to Manchester City. Is this effectively the title over?
I think we are not going to be relegated.
I agree. Defensively, was it an
issue? Two questions for the same one?
Yeah, can we move on?
Jose, does this game underline the difference between a team like Manchester City who are trying to win the title and a team like yours that really is going for the top four?
Now, one thing is they won in the championship, okay, first match of the season, and analyzed since the first match of the season, and the points, they show that one team starts strong and is still strong, and another team didn't start well and is improving a lot. If you focus on the game today, the game was open for 80-something minutes. I think nobody left the stadium before their third goal, for sure, because the game was open until then. In a week where Manchester City played at home three matches, and we play three matches away, in a week where they enjoy 2-6-0, 6-1 victories, relaxed, no pressure, no mental effort, everything nice and easy, and we played two matches away, difficult ones, where the second one was like a final for us, against one of the best teams in Europe, a game that demanded from us everything we had to give, not just physically, but also mentally. So when I analyze the game today, I think the difference was, you can go for stats, that's the way people that don't understand football analyze football, is with stats. I don't go for stats, I go for what I felt and for what I watch in the game. And the game was there until minute 80 something. So I consider the performance of my team a performance with mistakes is different than a bad performance. One thing is a bad performance, another thing is a performance with mistakes. We made mistakes, we were punished by these mistakes, but the performance, the mentality, the togetherness, the belief, the fight until the end was something that we are building. And we are not going to lose that because of the defeat.
All right. You just heard from the gaffer himself, Jose Mourinho, Manchester United not getting relegated in the Premier League. Does that make you feel better or worse?
What a relief. You know, I was really worried about that with our negative goal difference. But, dude, tone of the manager matches the times. It is somber times these days. You know, we got outclassed by City, unfortunately, today. So I hate to say it. Hurts me to say it, but it was not a great day for United.
It was truly an eerie mood in that press conference. Jose making a joke about relegation, which I didn't find too funny, said the races for the top four when he's asked about the title, kind of lamented about the schedule as well. I mean, we were away in Turin and City did play at home against not Juventus. So if you think about it, the odds were stacked against us, especially with those marquee players out of the lineup. So, I mean, are you buying his excuses, or you think it's just more the same for Mourinho?
I mean, it's definitely an element of more of the same, but to be fair, no Pogba for this team is it was always going to be tough for us, because the whole team is built around him. It clicks when he's clicking, and when he doesn't play well, we don't play well. So it was always going to be a massive challenge just to have him not feature. But this is Mourinho being Mourinho, making some excuses. There's some truth to it, right? We did have a hell of a match on Wednesday, going and getting the win at Juventus. But at the end of the day, Manx don't give a shit about that. They care about winning. They care about results. And I don't think any
Manx care about the derby.
Dude, this is bragging rights, bro. We have bragging rights, so we play them at our place. But right now, they got the upper hand.
Well, let's travel back in time for a minute here. You were actually in Hong Kong as we speak, so
hell of a night, sir.
You flew 15 hours.
Hell of a night, sir.
Just tell us what went down,
bro. So, land in Hong Kong, 8 p.m.
How long was the flight?
It was a 14-hour flight. I remember being shorter. It's still a 14-hour flight. And it was a hell of a flight. Got in, got to the hotel, had a cocktail. Thought I was going to a Manchester United Supporters Club bar. Turned out not be the current place where they host the games. But anyway, bounced from there to another place, found a decent bar, and I hate to say it, sir, I wish it was the last Manchester derby at the Etihad. A worthwhile performance to keep you up to 2:30 after a 14-hour flight, but it was not worth it. That was not a fun game to watch.
Yeah, no, that was a tough taste of medicine, especially when you landed. And yeah, you sound a little jet lagged, a little hungover, maybe.
Sir, had a couple Guinnesses, sir, a couple Guinnesses to help with that poor performance.
Yeah, nothing like being hungover in another country, not knowing what time it is. But hey, let's jump into that lineup. We had Dave Saves, the world number one, at least I'll say it, in net. Ashley Young at right back, Smalling Lindelof pairing. Ooh, nervous there. And Shaw at left back. Interesting midfield, like you said, Pogba injured, not in the starting lineup. Herrera, Fellaini, and Matic. That says a lot about our team there and Jose Mourinho's tactics, if you will. And then Lingard, Rashford, and Martial up top. I think a front three a lot of United fans have been calling for, but fits and starts. I don't even know if there are any starts. How did you feel about that lineup? Did you see it when you landed? Like, did you get your cell phone turned on? How did that?
Sir, I've been rocking full cell phone service. This is, you know, Hong Kong is very up to date. You know, I think I get better service in the 117th floor of the Ritz than I do in my own apartment in San Francisco. So things are very connected here, but lineup worried, sir. Very worried. Midfield three, just that it's kind of, you went for a big commanding midfield instead of something a little bit more technical. I would have liked to see a Fred in there. Matic is a warrior, but he has to be tired. You know, we had three games in basically 8-9 days now, and he's been looking a little tired. So I was definitely concerned about that. What were you thinking?
I mean, I was looking at that team, and I just says, who starts on City? And the answer is no one other than, I mean, De Gea could, you would argue, depends. You know, Guardiola likes the ball-playing keeper, and I haven't seen De Gea play the ball like Edison was doing, and that was pretty... I don't like Edison very much, but he was able to pick a pass, if you will. The defense, can they do a job? If that midfield is like steel and we make a mark on the game, then we had a chance, but... I just thought the odds were against us pretty bad with this lineup. I thought draw was best case scenario. We were close, but the front three really never got going, and Lingard didn't really have a game against Juve. Doesn't really have a game here, so kind of interesting he was starting versus Mata. Why not start Mata there? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a point to that. I mean, Lingard didn't play great, but I think the midfield lost the game, right? I think Matic had a pretty average performance, and he had a huge performance in Juventus. He was like a beast, complete rock.
What about Herrera? Getting his pocket picked three times, like almost last man back with the ball.
I mean, that's the problem with not having a Pogba there, is that Pogba is good at getting out of those situations. That's where it might have been nice to see a Fred, right? He's pretty good in those tight situations, but Herrera cannot be doing that. So I'm telling you,
Pierre not even on the bench.
A lot of questions about that, I mean, sir. A lot of questions.
All right, well, let's jump into the first half. It was all City from the jump, almost like we were just standing there watching them pass the ball. I did not like this tactic, if you will, from Jose Mourinho. Didn't really press them hard and just let those chumps lull us to sleep. And they were able to get into dangerous areas. Bernardo Silva got the ball in, had a shot that went wide. But we didn't have to wait long for City to score one. In the 12th minute, David Silva, I think the player I warned about on the podcast there, the ball was crossed into Bernardo from Sterling. Amazing whip cross outside in, pulls De Gea out, and then Bernardo gets a touch back across the box. Silva picks it up and is composed in front of net and finishes with a deflection off Lindelof, I believe. But tidy stuff from City. They probably had 80% of the ball in those first 12 minutes, and I just pulled my hat over my eyes, put my hands over my face, and just exhaled. Tried to deal with the pain. That hurt.
Sir, they had more good chances in the first 10 minutes than we have the whole game. And actually, like, it calmed down a little bit, but those first 10 minutes were worrisome. And that 12-minute goal was deserved, dude. I mean, this goal, if we had a better defense, we would not be giving it up. I think you could have finished that cross pass and gotten rid of it, but well-deserved to City.
No, Shaw could have covered it. Yeah,
Shaw could have covered it. But still, that was kind of like summed up the game right there and what we were to look forward to for the rest of it, sir.
Yeah, and Smalling was out of position, I want to say, two or three times in that first 12 minutes. David Silva just sneaking in behind him, threw ball. He just, like, completely out of depth. Like, they almost scored. Our defense just looks like schoolboy stuff, and we can't cope with a back line. We can't even play defensively. We're not organized. I mean, it was men versus boys there for a little bit, that first 12-minute spell, but we kind of came back, right? We kind of got our foot on the ball going forward, just, again, looking a little rash with the ball, like Lingard not pulling through, Rashford
definitely didn't
generate much either, you know?
We didn't look like we looked against Juventus. You know, when we had the ball against Juventus, we attacked with speed, we were direct, and I think it's Pogba, dude. I think it's that link-up between the front three and the midfield, and Herrera is not as effective as that at all. So I think that was a huge miss for us in this game and one of the big reasons we had nothing going forward.
Yeah, another reason why we didn't have anything going for was that midfield. Herrera gave the ball away in, like, horrific situations. It was like Pogba without the juke stick.
Pogba without the upside.
He was just standing. It's almost like he just didn't know the pace of play or that he was going to get closed down and they'd just pick his pocket and go the other way. And those were dangerous situations he put the team in. Again, lackluster from Herrera. When he's not on and Matic isn't on, then you got Fellaini just running like a chicken with his head cut off trying to stop everything for Manchester City. And we just looked out of depth in that first half.
I mean, even I give him some credit, man, because he was all over the pitch, at least at the beginning. He made a bunch of interceptions, a bunch of blocks, a bunch of clearances. But I think Herrera and Matic were not up to the job that day.
So what's the message at halftime? You're down a goal. What do we do?
Must do better. Must do better with the ball. Must be more direct. Must attack. And we got to do the high press, dude. We were not playing the high press enough because they pass out of the back. You know what they're going to do. If you shut that shit down, it fucks with their style of play. But if you let them just pass out of the back, they will pass around and do all day. And that's what we allowed them to do.
I mean, it's such, like, pity-patter pet football. It's like, this is the Manchester Derby, and this is the point that if you're going to put that team on the field, that starting 11, you got Fellaini, Herrera, and Matic in the midfield, right? You got some defenders that are kind of a liability. City's pulling these cheeky fouls as well against us, right? So not only do they play a certain way, but they just foul players.
They're kings of the technical foul.
Like, Bernardo Silva got caught with one, and it was just, like, unbelievable. They're just such cheap little bastards. They play – they made EPL, like – they lulled me to sleep, right? It's like they're lulling everyone to sleep. They have this soft brand of football, and it's like, we need to go over there, kick a blue. Like, why don't we come out? Give a challenge. Like, go in rashly. Get a yellow. Put your studs on someone and let them know that you're here to play. At least be physical. We have a physical team. We weren't even physical. It didn't make sense to me.
Especially with that midfield, right? Fellaini, Matic, and Herrera, you should be beating them up all day. And there wasn't enough of that. There wasn't enough physicality. I think, to be fair, it might have been that we blew so much energy at the Juventus game, because that was a battle as well, right? That was a midfield battle. That was exactly the kind of performance that we needed in this game. And I think if we brought it, we would beat them, because that physicality, right? They couldn't cope with that. But instead, we let them play their game. We let them hold onto the ball. We let them pass and play from the back. And if you let them do that, they will, you know, they'll cut you apart.
Again, it comes down to mentality, I think. And we weren't brave on the ball, right? It was a lot of coming back. No one wanted to make a move. No one to make that killer pass. No one wanted to take him on. And when we did have glimpses of it, City wavered. They wavered. They scored that goal, and they let us get back in that game, right? And that was the big mistake that they made, is that they could have killed it off, and they didn't. And it wasn't until early in the second half. Why don't we jump in? 48th minute, 3 minutes after kickoff. You think Jose is going to set him straight, right? It's the second half here. Aguero, quick 1-2 in the box between Aguero and Mahrez, and Aguero blasted through De Gea's hands for City's second. And I'm going to say, yes, it went through his hands, and some people were slating De Gea, but man, that had, I mean, if you track the velocity of that ball, I mean, you could argue there's some technique. He put his hands down, then put them up, but you know, his hands should be in a more ready position above it, near his head. But like, that's world-class pace on that ball. So
that's hard to slate.
You can't even see it.
I mean, that's like a rocket. Not much you can do about that. I think I get more criticism to Lindelof for his marking of Aguero. I think you block that ball, but De Gea, that's tough, dude. He's having a tough season, bro. Like, the balls he's pulling out of the net, you can definitely tell he's getting sick of this shit.
Going down another goal, that was like a dagger in the heart. As a Manchester United fan, but hey, you know, when all else fails, let's put on our the number nine, Romelu Lukaku. In the 57th minute, he comes on to replace Jesse Lingard. Didn't really do much, unfortunately. I am a Lingard fan, but not coming off when he starts. Why don't start Lukaku and then sub in Lingard, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the right move, bring in Lukaku if he's ready to play. But even Lukaku couldn't do much because the midfield, live and die with the midfield, not having Pogba there.
He had a few bad touches. It was pretty awesome to watch. But hey, he came on, and a minute later, penalty to Manchester United. Lukaku runs onto the ball. He touches it wide of Edison, and clear penalty in my eyes. What'd you think on that call?
Definitely. I mean, Edison had one of those a couple years ago when they first signed him. He's always good to bring a keeper down. I think that was a smart play from Lukaku. You know, draw the penalty, get back in the game. Let's do this.
And Martial finishes it with no funny run-up.
a
Frenchman
no
who
step.
Just runs at the ball. That's what I like to see. But he did do it coolly, and that is 5 of 5 for Martial. So congrats to the Frenchman. And this is when City looked soft. We had him. Like, they said, oh, no, here we go again. And then Jose brings on some subs in the 73rd. Mata on for Herrera, and Sanchez on to Rashford. When Lukaku did come on, Rashford went out wide on the right, and in that 20-minute spell or 15-minute spell, he didn't do much. Rashford, for him to be talked about as, you know, the United's number two, our second striker, I don't think he produces enough for our team, right? If you think of the days of Sir Alex, Rashford would be a great third option, right? He would need years to kind of grow into that role, but he gets thrown on the pitch. We need a goal in a big game, and we don't even look even close, right?
Look at the talent between Rashford, Martial, Lukaku, and Sanchez. I mean, right now, we don't have a confident striker playing up front. Martial is finally in form, but we don't have a front man that's playing well, banging in goals, and that's what we're missing, because not a lot of really good teams that don't have, you know, dangerous strikers playing up front. And then we weren't helped by the fact that
Chelsea has Morata. They're okay.
Well, he's scoring goals again, bro. I mean, he's scoring goals this year, though.
I know. I'm joking. They have Hazard.
But that's the difference, right?
You know, we are in a tough situation. We're leaking goals from the back, you know, and we can't score going forward. We've been lucky, though, with the penalties and the set-piece goals. It's funny. It's like watching Team USA out there. We're like, set-piece at City. We're going to head it in with Fellaini, like, hoofball here. Like, I feel like I'm rooting for, like, West Ham, you know? It's a weird feeling when you're playing City away and they just look like they're on another level. And I think we have the talent. It's just the intensity we didn't bring to the derby. And I don't know, I got to blame Mourinho for that, right? If you can't, he can't get him up for the first 15 minutes of a game. Like, what's the intangible there?
Dude, that's on the players, bro. In my mind, you can't get up for a Manchester derby, then you don't deserve to put on the pit, put on the kit. You know, you can blame the manager. We'll blame the manager, but I think like players got to take personal responsibility for the fact that they didn't bring the appropriate amount of intensity to that game.
But doesn't it take like a Roy Keane as a captain of the team to get that intensity up? Doesn't it take a Sir Alex? Like Sir Alex, you look behind the scenes in the little footage we have, he was not a very nice guy. He was saying like, take it to Arsenal, be all over that motherfucker, kick him, like, you know, foul him. He's a soft, like, you know, he was like really kind of aggressive. I don't think Mourinho's like giving that type of talk, right?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think his tactic is more hands off than Fergie is. Airs his disappointment, but doesn't motivate people the same way. But so I don't know what's wrong with these players, man. They just like they don't look like they're up for it. It's too much joking around, too many laughs, too many like high fives in the tunnel beforehand. It just doesn't have the same level of intensity that it used to have, right? Like United playing Arsenal when we just signed RVP, like that kind of like no joke intensity. Now it's like the Instagram generation. Everyone's giggling, fucking around, and that is not going to help us because we need to be like a tough as nails team if we're going to do shit, win. You know, you need to have that mentality.
We all know what happened next. 86th minute goal, Gundogan. Everyone's caught ball watching. He's found wide open 6 yards out. Matic really snoozed him on this one. If you watch the replay, he just didn't.
Yeah, it was
even
dreadful.
It was bad. And I think that's what's getting him a lot of slack online. And that was all she wrote. Not too much to mention on United's side. Kind of fizzled out. Terrible start.
That's when I walked out, sir.
Terrible start.
Third goal, that was it.
Yeah, terrible start, terrible performance, huge game. And time to pick up the pieces here. Let's look at the stats. Possession, City, 65% of the ball to United's 35%. It's amazing we had that much. Shots on target, City 5 to United's 1. And this is the first time since the 1990-91 season that Manchester United have lost as many as 4 of their opening 12 games in a top-flight season. If you Oof. Weren't hurting already, try that on for size.
It feels so good, doesn't it? And this is the first time since 1977-78 that Man United have a negative goal difference after 12 games of a top-flight season. So pretty good. Speaking of pretty good, only Fulham have kept fewer clean sheets than Manchester United. One. One. We've kept one clean sheet in the Premier League this season. That's it, bro.
And De Gea is still my keeper, so I'm loyal till I die.
Me too. Killing it. He's killing it.
Getting murdered. I mean, that's pretty. The negative goal difference, that's probably the most frightening statistic of all. And there's more frightening intangibles when you just look at that team and the way they play and how every game we're like, let's let the other team outplay us and just hope we can somehow steal it. And that seems to be the Mourinho way as of late. But more stats. This is for Manchester City. Sergio Aguero scored 8 Premier League goals against Manchester United. Only Alan Shearer, who scored 10, has more against the Reds in the competition. So Aguero, he also cost us that title as well.
Fancies a goal.
And he
loves to score against us, bro.
Fancies a goal. Anthony Martial became the 5th French player to score in 5 consecutive Premier League games. He's joined the company of Eric Cantona, Nicolas Anelka, Thierry Henry, and Olivier Giroud. So when I think of Martial, I'm going to think of Giroud. He's finally hit that level.
Boss man Giroud, bro, your favorite player.
And this was Manchester United's boss, Jose Mourinho's 300th Premier League game as a manager. Despite defeat today, he's won more games than any other manager in their first 300 in the competition, 189. And United is not helping him take that title.
It's dragging down that record, sir. Dragging down that record.
All right, how about you take us through the American Red Devils headline, sir?
Sir, American Red Devils headlines this week is no magic in the midfield. I don't think there's any doubt in that, right, sir?
Yeah, we did not have any Merlin on our team. David Silva's wearing light blue.
He was tearing it up, man. Pog missing, it made such a huge difference. We look like Van Gaal team, sir. So makes quite an impact not having him on the side.
last season, it didn't really have as much of an impact as it did today. Maybe it was City.
Sorry, we ate shit, sir. We're talking about when he got injured for those 2 months, we like completely felt we were winning, and then all of a sudden we just fell apart. Remember?
No, I think when he benched him later in the season, but not as much as that. We looked like a different team. We look without him, nothing. There's nothing there. Like nothing in the midfield. Nothing going forward. Him, Shaw, and Martial. Remember we talked about those triangles, that great connection. We did not see any of that, and that's because Pogba's not on the field. So Herrera, Matic, and Fellaini probably to blame there.
A rough match, sir. It was a rough match. Very rough.
You sound rough. You sound rough,
sir. There's not enough Guinness in the world to make that team look good. Next headline is the no more top four question mark. Do you think it's finally out of reach, sir? 7 points now.
It's close. It's close. I think we're in it for top four. I think the league's gone. I think the negative goal differential hurts. What about you? How do you feel?
I think it's looking pretty bleak, sir. I think the league is definitely gone. Top four, it's only 7 points, but based on the way this team's playing, we got Arsenal coming up. They're playing pretty well. We got Liverpool after that. So we got even got Palace, man. It's like, dude, can we even get up for Palace these days? Hard to say. We haven't shown.
It's a results based business though. So let the boys play, and Mourinho will be judged on that. So if we make top four, great. If we don't, on to the next manager, most likely. I just think the way we're playing is just, you could win. You could steal a smash and grab at Juventus, which is great. Feels great, 3 points, and we're going to knockout round. But you got to have the team playing well, and we haven't this year at all. Man of the match, who do you like from United, even though we lost? So the man of the match for Manchester United for you.
Man of the match. That's hard, sir. Man of the match, I don't know. Usually man of the match would be the winning team. I don't even know if United deserves a man of the match. I would say.
Tony Marshall came from France.
Yeah, I'll give it to Tony because he got a goal.
Said he had no chance.
There you go.
Yeah, he got the goal. I capped him on my fantasy team. 5-5. If there's any bright side to Manchester United, is the fact that he scored 5-5, and we have goals come from someone. If you think about that, that's how much that matters. All right, jumping in a little quick snapshot of the table. Like you said, 7 points. City win 32 plus 31 goal differential. Absurd. Liverpool at 30 plus 18. Chelsea at 28. Spurs at 27, rounding out the top four. Arsenal, the baby bitches, 24 points. And then Bournemouth and Manchester United on 20. So 7 separates us from Spurs, who I'm crossing my fingers they choke, but they played pretty well. Again, Crystal Palace gave them a run for their money. I watched that game on Saturday and hoping that they lost, but they actually squeaked it out. So I think Crystal Palace is going to be tougher than we want it to be, sir, coming up.
So they made it tough for us last year. And we always make it tough for ourselves. So,
and you went. You actually went to the Crystal Palace match, but this is the home game. So you actually went at the other fixture. But
we did. But, hopefully we have no problem getting up for this game because we need some points, bro. We need some points.
All right. Checking in with the Twitterverse. Ooh, pretty critical this week. @_Rob_B. Mourinho's fielded a physical side against one team you shouldn't field a physical side against. That was so easy for City that they took their foot off the gas. Why is Sanchez not the number 9 today? He led the press against Juve brilliantly. Utter rubbish from MUFC. What do you think about that?
Sir, I don't think Sanchez would have been on the bench if he could have started. If Mourinho benched Sanchez, then that's a very bad call on Mourinho. But I think that was because he wasn't available to start the game. But I think it was what this team did with...
He played.
He did play. He played at the end. Didn't make much of an impact. But the midfield, I think the physical approach is not the wrong thing. It's we didn't play the high press well enough at all. And we didn't.
What about Fred?
We didn't match their passion. We should have brought Fred.
Fred, Pereira. Like, we need people who can pass the ball in tight spaces playing against a City team that press really high.
Without Pogba,
Players were drowning out there. They couldn't avoid it. They're losing the ball left and right. Lingard, nothing. Rashford, nothing. I mean, we were drowning. Literally, 4 City players on us when we had the ball, and they had so much space when they were passing around us. It was tough.
Looked like we had no energy. No energy, sir.
Mourinho's tactics, drowning. That's what it looked like to me. Just
there you go.
The end of the beginning of the end. All right, at AJ6144, who's surprised? At Man United, have no creativity, accuracy, or chemistry. Jose changes the damn lineup every game. Please get rid of Modric. He is not Carrick and is a general waste of space. Hashtag Red Devils at USA Red Devils.
I don't know about that, bro.
This tweet was retweeted a lot. So, like, I retweeted out. I just try to retweet a bunch of different perspectives on the game from you guys, the fans. And this is one I retweeted, and it caught fire. A lot of people were liking this and retweeting it. So what do you think it says about the team when a lot of fans, that tweet resonates with them?
Sorry, I think it says something about our fans, unfortunately. I think it's, like, pretty ridiculous.
Do we have creativity?
It's pretty general. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about read the whole freaking tweet. Now is the problem that Jose is changing the lineup every week. He used to not change the lineup every week. First of all, Fergie changed the lineup every week, and that was a good thing. And Matic, bro, Matic was a beast midweek, and now he's shit. It's just like, I think fans are just generally fickle. Only remember the
Matic
last
just had a bad run of it this season.
Yeah, he hasn't been.
I will
hasn't
have to say
he hasn't performed, but like he was good last year, right? It's like people who act that Lukaku's shit. He scored 27 goals last year because he's out of form now. That means now he's terrible. Can't play in the Premier League. I mean, just, I think people are a little unfair. You know, this team is not playing well at the moment. And a lot of the blame probably falls on Mourinho. But I think we're too easy to just, like, ship out and criticize our players that they're just, like, washed up and shit. A little tough, I think.
I do think Matic was getting a fair lick of the Twitterverse after this match. For whatever reason, people were coming after him. Sometimes they go after Lukaku. Saw some of that, but not nearly as much as Modric. He was singled out. I was surprised, as I didn't think he didn't have a great game. Obviously, the last goal. Herrera, to me, looked off the mark even just as much as Modric, actually. And when you have those two players playing against City, not on their top game.
Oh, you're screwed.
We're lucky it's only three. Lucky it was only three.
Yep.
All right, next tweet. At Anthony_ATG, we're playing so badly because we don't have a single center mid playing at the moment who can pick a through ball like Pogba can. All the midfield players are defensive-minded. I mean, Jose probably wanted it that way. He's got Fred and he's got Piera. Could have put in a little more trickery, some Brazilian flair into the midfield, and he opted for, you know, the Serbian and the Belgian and the Spaniard trying to gum it up.
Definitely could have used Fred, bro. If you don't have Pogba, at least Fred can make a forward pass. Piera, less justified because he has less experience. But Fred, dude, you spent all that money on him over the summer. No reason not to play him when your star man Pogba is injured. So that's on Mourinho for
sure. I thought he was going to start, honestly, with Pogba and Modric, or even Fellaini and drop Modric. You know, just because he's having a tough go.
I think he was ready to be dropped. But he's one of those boys that Mourinho, he's loyal to him, so he trusts that above other things, even if the guy is tired.
It's just, we got to be brave, right? United has to be brave. We have to, like, put players on the field that want to play and can have the mentality to beat City and cut them up. And I think that goes to our next tweet, @Doc_Joshy. Can't beat City if just wait for them to play. We start on the back foot and have been punished. Lots of positives over the last few weeks, but the approach was all wrong today. I'm going to say a lot of those positives were in the second half, and we continue to not turn up for matches. That's our biggest weakness, actually, if you look at it. We get let in goals early, and then we come back, but we needed to boss a game from start to finish, and we couldn't get up for the derby.
See, this is my major criticism while watching the game last night, was that you got to put the high press on City, right? They'll pass all around you. We need to have the energy, the high press, the, like, when you play a Liverpool, you play a City, they come at you, and they're on top of you, and that's the way you beat a City. And as soon as I saw that we weren't doing that, I knew we were screwed. I knew the game was already over, because that's the difference, and that proved to be the difference again, sir.
All right, next up, we got our Twitter poll. We have been putting our finger on the pulse of the fan base here, just like we're heading into the midterm elections. But it is Mourinho out or Mourinho in. We had 86 votes in the 12 hours we had this poll up. 58% Mourinho out, 42%. Mourinho in. That is actually down, surprisingly.
Again, it swung again.
Yeah, so Mourinho winning over fans. You know, he started out, was it October? So in September, late September, it was 66% Mourinho out. Then it was 56% early October. Now early November, it's 58%. Actually, in early October, it was 44% Mourinho out. Mourinho had won the favor of the fans here. And then now it's 58% Mourinho out. So it swung completely from Mourinho out to Mourinho in. So now it's Mourinho out.
What would it have been?
It's kind of all over the board.
What would it have been if you did it right after the Juventus game? You think it'd be this? Because I bet it wouldn't be a majority out.
I didn't want to do it after that game because I don't want to always send out the poll, but once a month I want to check in and kind of see where people are. But either way, it looks like there's a solid, you know, 15 to 20% that's switching based on how the team's doing.
Just like
it
America,
says a lot
bro.
About our
I mean,
team.
It's just like those are the swing votes, bro. That's what decides it. And it's all about recent results. No one was happy about that, dude. That derby game was brutal.
So I'm a complete Mourinho out camp. I'm in the 58%. I'm a hard 58%. I'm not flip-flopping in and out. Now, you see it on his face after the game. You see it on the field. It's like he's playing Pep Guardiola's most hated rival. He puts out that starting 11, and you look at that. You look at the field and when they kick the ball from the start, and you're just like, just kicking it in our net. It was really not – that doesn't embody Manchester United. That's not what we're there to do. We're there to kick a blue. We're there to show them that we're Manchester United. We're there to show them that we're a club that's much better than them. They might have the – it's like, oh, it's a nice Ferrari right now. It was bought with illegal money, and we'll break that down on another pod in detail. Clearly, it's fancy. Everyone loves City now, but we have won 20 titles. Let's remember – what really matters. They had Zabaleta on the Sky Sport coverage, and they're like, oh, Manchester City legend, Pablo Zabaleta. Like, that's a legend of Manchester City.
Legend.
He
Joe
won
Hart,
two
bro.
Titles.
Bro, they called Joe Hart a legend. They named their freaking training ground after Joe Hart.
A legend? A legend?
Apparently.
A legend?
City, dude. That's what it takes.
Like,
let them have their legends. Let them have their Joe Harts, bro. We're Manchester United.
They're trying to invent history. They're trying to invent history. We are history. We own this motherfucking league.
That sounded kind of appropriate, unfortunately, sir. We are history. The way we're playing right now, it seems like it.
No, I meant that in another
way.
I
know you did, but it sounded savage.
Yes, and guess what? So if you look at a case study, Liverpool was that, right? But that was before all the money got into football, and we still have all the money, right? That's the thing. With our, you know, money that we're making legally.
Got to spend that money, bro.
Under financial fair
legally,
play.
Legally, we got to spend that money, though.
It's up to the board. And the situation we're in, it's just like we can't give City too much respect. Mourinho gave him too much respect. He went there, played right into his hand like a little bitch. Like, why are we doing that? Why isn't Mourinho trying to win the game? That seemed, he's like, oh, just trying to stay in it so we can steal a match because they're better than us. That's how he's setting the team up. $1 billion spent, and we're like, oh, let's hope to stay in it so we can hoof it to Fellaini and get a goal. It's like, where the hell are we right now? Like, what is wrong with this team?
We're history, bro. That's where we are. We need, like, I think you need to clean house at the top. You need to bring in a replacement for Mourinho at the end of the year. And you got to get rid of some of these players, bro. Some of these bad apples. You got to, you know, we need a whole overhaul. It's still going to take years more, bro. It's like as soon as Ferguson left.
Here's the thing.
The cracks are widening, bro. The chisms are widening.
You keep Lingard. You keep Rashford. You keep Martial. You keep Lukaku, right?
Yeah, but you got to ship out half
our defenders, keeping all those?
Right? Yeah, those kids are all young. Of course I'm keeping Martial, Rashford, Lukaku, Lingard, but I'm not going to keep... If they get rid of Young, when you get rid of Valencia, when you get rid of Jones, when you get rid of Smalling and replace them, you don't just get rid of them. We need
Mata.
Like, probably need to get rid of Mata and bring in a new right winger. You know, like you need to bring in new talent that's going to be there for the long haul. It's going to help you win fucking titles, help you compete for Champions Leagues. And we've got some. Dude, I like Mata a lot, but like half our defense has to go. I mean, half our defense is not good enough. Most of our defense is not good enough.
Yeah, so given I kind of see it on the wall, and Mourinho, we might go to Juventus and pip him for three, which is great. I'm going to always root for the team. You'd rather be Juventus and, you know, be the one complaining about losing the game when you dominated, right? It's like, how much longer can we go and be this like patchwork team that we're like hoping we can, you know, steal a point? And it's just, to me, that's not who Manchester United is. And the longer that we are in this phase, the more likely we are to become the next Liverpool and go through a 20-year drought, right?
Sir, I think we are on our, we're sliding into that warm bath that is called being the new Liverpool. I mean, I think that's happening. Our club is being...
Hey, how dare you? How dare you?
Oh, sir.
I'll kick you off this pod, sir.
I'm not saying we're Liverpool. I'm just saying it's like our management has no idea what they're doing, and they're going to allow us to slip into that like complacency where top four is enough, and top four is never enough for Manchester United. But what I'm saying is, like, dude, the writing on the wall is on the wall. Look at the Glazers, bro. Like, the alarm lights are flashing and they're not paying attention. They don't give a shit, and they won't act until we're out of the top four.
Pep retires after 3 years. Let's just hope he retires.
Yeah, but
that's still like our best shot.
We can't even beat everyone else, bro. It's like, we're not second. We were second last year. Now we're eighth.
Sir, we played well against Chelsea. I mean,
but we didn't win. Gotta win, baby.
Okay, here's a question. Are we overreacting given Pogba wasn't in that team, our best player? We're missing our best player, and in our state, yeah, we need him so bad.
They didn't have De Bruyne, bro. They didn't have De Bruyne, and they look that good, and he's their best player.
Yeah, but they have depth. We don't have depth, right?
We definitely don't have depth like they do. But I do agree. I mean, like, I think it would have been a different game. I think it would have been a different game if Pogba was there. But that being said, it's still an issue that we didn't show up, bro. We can't show up for a game against City. That's worrisome.
Tough times.
Tough times, sir.
Here in Hong Kong. United in the news. Quote, Martial can be better than Hazard. Manchester United star branded world class by Paul Ince, goal.com. I mean, 5-5 hype train. Everyone on board with Martial.
He's our best attacker at the moment, Hazard, sir. But I don't know if he's quite Hazard yet, but he's the best attacker on Manchester United this season for sure, without a doubt. So keep scoring, bro.
He definitely can beat a man. Something that I used to see Rashford do quite often, but it's been a little while. Not hating on Rashford, just think he's a step up his game up. Next article, Sanchez only speaking to three Manchester United teammates after being isolated, wants to leave per the standard. Sir, where do you dig this news up?
Sir, I've heard a lot of this, bro. I heard a lot of this week.
Really?
Bro. Oh, yeah, dude. Multiple sources. Said he's unhappy, wants to leave, going to go to PSG, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't have put in the news, sir, in our esteemed United of the News if it wasn't. It didn't seem to have some legs in it, but I keep hearing about it, sir. Keep hearing it.
People, so the only place he could go is PSG, right? His wages are too high for anyone else to take on.
The only people that can afford him is PSG.
The other team cheating, financial fair play, bribing UEFA. All right, next article. Tottenham and Arsenal interested in out-of-favor Manchester United defender Phil Jones. You can have him, Arsenal.
I'll give you a ride, bro. I'll pick you up in the morning,
we'll pay you. No,
We'll
pay Arsenal the more they start him. Start Phil Jones. We'll pay you more money.
We'll pay his wages. He could have him. Just take him.
All right. Manchester United. Next article. Manchester United handed Nathan Ake transfer boost as Eddie Howe fears January sale. I bring him in.
Yeah, in a second, dude.
Bring him in. Kid looked lit playing against us. And I mean,
he was a beast.
From Chelsea, they have Ryder first refusal. They don't want him. That's interesting. I thought he played well.
Yeah, I think they would hop in front of us for that sale. But he was great when we played him a couple weeks ago. 5'11", bro, but he looks 6'4" in the air. So I'd sign Abake in a second.
All right, our next article. This is what we always argue about. Manchester United ready to back Jose Mourinho with £100 million plus January signing. Per the Guardian, our transfer kit, maybe not just one signing. And this is so dumb to go tout this around.
It's because they just lost, right? I mean, that's why. It's like, oh, we're going to spend money this winter, we promise.
Yeah, but then you're going to go and you're going to want to buy someone, and they're going to know you're Manchester United, and then they're going to say, oh, the price is overvalued because we know you desperately need defenders now. I mean, Yerry Mina was $30 million, bro. Like, I mean, like, who are we going to get?
Yerry Mina.
Harry Maguire for $80 million. Do the deal.
Yerry Mina's on the bench too, bro. I'm not even playing. Yerry Mina is like the best you can get. That's our options. We got to spend $100 million, bro. Buy like $100 million.
I know.
Defender from
that
Serie
gets you one.
Kubala.
That gets you one.
Yeah.
So do
two.
You think that's worth it? Is it worth it to? So we're looking at our defense. We're looking at our team. You're gonna spend £100 million on one defender.
No, it's not worth it. Right. How much did they spend on Van Dijk?
Is it 75?
They spent $75 million on Van Dijk.
I mean, they spent 60 on the keeper, right?
They did. But that's what they needed to fix, and they fixed it. And now they're good.
There you go. All right, fan questions. We have a tweet here at Krzy_ManUnited. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Krzysiu.
Good college try, sir. Not bad.
He tweets, replying at USA Red Devils, sir. Shout out to the sir.
I like it.
Is it just me, or is that starting 11, or that starting 11 wasn't too impressive?
It was a Van Gaal 11, bro. It was like, no, it was like a Moyes 11. It was just like, yeah, this is it. This is what we got. No Brazilians?
Yeah. What'd you think? Impressive? Not impressive? That was all right. It was like, all right, I guess we could try to win.
I mean, I would have taken a Juan Mata, bro. A Juan Mata would have made it more impressive. It was just like, there's just not enough creativity in that team, unfortunately. It wasn't doing it, sir. Wasn't doing it.
All right, and as follow-up to that, who would start in that City team from the United starting 11, aside from David De Gea? Who do you think?
I mean, maybe Martial right now because he's playing well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who's he's got to take.
I mean, their team is fucking
Sané,
bro.
Sané was playing left wing for City. He came on.
I don't think Sané started. But bro.
No, Sterling. I think it was Sterling.
No, right, I think you're right.
Left wing. Mara's on the right wing. Yeah, so he would have to take. I mean, I'd take Martial over Sterling. Sterling's a bitch. Can't finish.
Definitely a bitch.
That's fair. I might want to say Luke Shaw, you know, maybe. I mean, he's been playing well. But again,
I mean, they have pretty good fullbacks. They have very good fullbacks.
Mendy, I mean, he might like be a little more dynamic than Mendy, but
it's a reach.
It's
either way,
the
bang on starters are like Pogba, De Gea. It used to be Matic in my mind, but now Matic is like had a tough second season. So he's having a very tough second season.
So that says it all right there. You're like scratching your head. And
yeah.
That's out of 11 players, and there's injuries on City's team. So when you look at that lineup, you're right, Krzy, not too impressive there. I think that kind of wraps up the most miserable pod we've had in a long time.
Happy honeymoon, sir.
Sir, happy honeymoon. Happy hungover, jet-lagged honeymoon. But hey, you know, we really appreciate your support. The downloads keep coming in. We'll give you guys a few shout-outs. San Jose, California last week, top of the list here. New York, second. And then Thousand Oaks, California, been through the ringer this week.
Stay safe, folks. Stay safe.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims of the shooting at that bar, as well as the fires down in Thousand Oaks. So stay safe, and our thoughts are with you. T.O., sir, how about you hit him for the rest?
Number four, we got Chi-Town. And then, sir, you're going to have to help me with this pronunciation. It's in Canada. Masugawa, Canada, if it sounds cool to me. Number six is Canyon Country, California. Sunderland.
Woo,
we have
Canyon
been to
Country.
Sunderland, sir. We've been to Sunderland. Sending you guys our best.
Went away to Sunderland, bro.
Against
boys.
I know. Eighth
Zlatan.
Place. San Fran,
Zlatan's last
Bronx,
goal.
New York, Seattle, Washington. Dude, that was Zlatan's last Premier League goal for United.
Unbelievable, and that injury was horrific. So thank you so much for the downloads. We really appreciate it. And if you want to support the podcast even further, like we said, small shop. If you go to our website, www.americanreddevils.com, we have a link to our Sunfrog store. Any podcast merch you buy helps us bring you this show. International break highlights, Thursday, November 15th, USA versus England. This is the Rooney tribute, so if you're a USA Red Devil, American Red Devil, you should be watching this one. It'd be a great friendly between USA and England, and I'm sorry to say, but USA is not playing too well, and we don't have a full-time coach, so it's not like you're going to go from watching Manchester United killing it to US of A doing very well.
What's the line on that game, sir? I want to do the bet of Rooney chipping the goalkeeper. They have that bet, I take it.
You heard of the controversy about this tribute to Rooney, right? Like, everyone was like, why are they bringing Rooney back?
It's
like,
Rooney,
what the hell?
Bro. English people are so, like, it's because they're all these
and
former...
you were fighting.
This is pissing me off. Bro. I almost got in a fight with this Aussie last night when I was wearing my Rooney jersey to the bar. And it's like, dude, Wayne Rooney doesn't get the respect he deserves, and that's part
for,
of this thing.
For
right?
all the fans out there, for all the listeners, Alex is a diehard Rooney supporter through and through. You may have argued about him, but I really know that you back Rooney hard. So if someone insults Rooney, you usually come out fit and fire.
Dude, he's the all-time leading goal scorer of Manchester United. He's the all-time leading goal scorer of England. He's the reason I'm a Manchester United fan. We signed him 04. I became a Manchester United fan. That was it. It was kind of like the catalyst for me joining this great club. I will always back Rooney, bro. And I think the reason that, like, there's backlash is because people give Rooney shit and they think he should have won World Cups for England. But at the end of the day, England just didn't win World Cups. So they can't blame Rooney, bro. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Blame Lampard. Dude, blame Gerrard. Yeah, Wayne Rooney.
This is Lampard or Terry, right? They wouldn't be like having any kind of fuss. But because it's Rooney, it's like, well, he was kind of a thug when he was younger. So they're giving him shit. Wayne Rooney's a legend, bro.
Dude, not to mention he scored the best goal in the Manchester derby of all time. Amazing bicycle kick. Wayne Rooney, I'm pumped that he had
the
tribute.
The other day. I got to get myself a Wayne Rooney MLS shirt, bro. That's
the
next one.
Said he saw the white Pele.
So, dude, no hate for Rooney. That's good for him. I hope he puts in a hat trick. I mean, I want us to win 4-3, but I hope Rooney shines.
And he's killing it in MLS. But again, who cares about MLS? And we will be getting you a we'll be getting you a podcast next week previewing Crystal Palace at Old Trafford, and then shortly after that, we got Young Boys in the Champions League at home on real grass.
Need a win, bro.
Going from Juve to City to Crystal Palace and Young Boys seems about right for this team. So let's buckle up, get 3 points, sir. Enjoy Hong Kong. Vietnam, I know you're traveling out there, so we will get you another international break, international pod here.
These international honeymoon pods, sir, let them continue, bro. Let the good times roll. And always.
All right, and as always,
be kicking,
kicking
a blue.
And Chelsea!